throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Garrison Financial Friday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Hits an NBA playoffs at the end of the show. What in the world happened in Minnesota last night? Denver just flat out didn't show up.
So they lost count. They thought they already won the series.
That's a game seven.
That's a game seven
headed back to Denver. For the Thunder tomorrow night, is it as simple as make some shots and you force a game seven? Do you think the lineup change, the starting lineup is permanent? We'll find out. PGA Championship, Xander Schauffele, 62 yesterday, 9 birdies, 9 pars. There's only been 4 62s in major championship history. He now has 2 of them. It's pretty incredible.
And a jail birdie.
Well, now we'll get to that.
Jail birdie.
We'll get to that. Do the scores bother you that they're that low? Is there really anything they can do about it at the end of the day? Then who surprised you with their first round score? And then right off the top, Scotty G's with us. I have a question about what happened this morning from a financial side of things to see if you guys have any idea what might have been cost outside of course the poor guy's life who died. It turns out it looks like it's one of the vendor's workers that was struck by one of the buses going into Valhalla. Then, of course, the Scottie Scheffler situation that is wrapped around that there at Louisville. 225-9698 is the phone to the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. You can check out this week's Penny News. Go pick up a free copy of it. Look at it online, thepennynews.com. Big Elk and Paragon TV. Paragon TV tonight. Canute graduation. I'll be at Elk City's tomorrow. Big Elk TV at 4 o'clock. And the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check it out anywhere where podcasts drop. How are you guys today?
Doing great.
Good, good.
Okay, I kid you not. I thought I woke up and our man Tyler Harrison, Western Oklahoma Realty, he texted me this morning. He was like, I thought I woke up in a Saturday Night Live skit. And I was like, I literally thought the same thing. The very first social media I see is Scottie Scheffler in an orange jumpsuit. And I'm thinking, what possibly could have happened for him to be in that orange jumpsuit? That was just because of what we think we know about him and how lily white he appears to be and seems, you know, like the opposite of an entitled athlete. That to me was one of the most shocking pictures I could have ever imagined seeing was Scottie Scheffler in an orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I said, the most pristine professional athlete on the scene today, probably.
Oh, I don't even know if it's close.
No, it's...
I don't know. Harrison Butker might have a run for his, yeah, for his money right about now, but...
Oh, dear.
Isn't that funny? Rashee Rice has almost killed people, 8 felonies.
Let's get up to...
Don't worry about that. Get mad at Butker. I'm talking about even the Chiefs and the fans. Anyway, that's one that we're never going to be able to understand. So it looks like there's more and more kind of coming out about this. Jeff Darlington was the first guy kind of on the scene. And he has I'll have to find that video that we can play later. It just him, you know, the first thing was early on kind of saying that, hey, he got arrested. And I was there. I saw kind of what happened. And then the second video, he goes into way more in-depth, you know, gathering information and talking to different people.
Well, see, I didn't know that a gentleman was killed by a bus.
Neither did anybody else. So it looks, at this point, it looks like That happened, and it's there's multiple different like where you'd show your credentials,
right?
And so once it got far enough up toward the golf course or the entry, like normal people like us would have never even been that close,
right,
where it actually ended up happening. So you show your credential, you go a certain ways, and then I guess that the players were told that, you know, any traffic disruptions, you're go around, you got your courtesy and all that. So, like,
why do you say normal people like us, Jerry?
Well,
he kind of lumped us into a.
Me too. I mean, we're all good. We'd all be in the back going, "What's going on?" We didn't even get up to where he got to when this all happened, and so that's part of, you know, you're starting to see. Well, if he had just complied with the police, he was doing exactly what he thought he was told to do, and then once he realized, you know, it's 5 a.m., it's raining, everybody's got the same, like, yellow
raincoat
that you can see in the dark. And then he realizes, I'm a police officer. And I guess Jeff Darlington heard him tell the guy, I had no idea you were a police officer. I thought you were, you know, this is what we were told anyhow. It appears to be quite the mess. And economically, I immediately go, if this is what it appears, did Louisville just cost themselves the ability to host the PGA Championship?
Eesh.
I'll go one further. Someone sent me a message that did Kentucky, the entire state of Kentucky, lose their shot of hosting anything for like the next 100 years?
Well, I mean, Kentucky, they'll obviously host the Kentucky Derby.
Like, well, I'm just in PGA.
But yeah, something else coming in.
How do you, because they booked him, how do you, as a police officer, when somebody has made it that far up, and then he's telling you, I'm playing, I would think at some point in time he had to say, look, man, I'm in the tournament, I'm playing. Whether he was trying to pull a big guy card or not, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's trying to say, do you know who I am? I'm saying there had to be a time that he said, dude, I'm playing today, I'm in the tournament. I didn't know you were a police officer. How do you not pull his ID? Everybody's, I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then a quick little Google search and maybe we don't need to take this guy to county.
Or like, he's carrying credentials, is he not?
Oh,
yeah. Just pull that out, a badge or something. Go,
maybe
hey,
we don't have to go to county on this one. Maybe we just don't take him into the station.
So,
and does Scotty think, because what I'd read that or heard that he, the officer was holding on to the car as it was still moving. Did he think, this is a crazy fan?
I don't know.
I'm the number one golfer in the world. This guy's he's waiting for me at 5 a.m. in the rain. This guy's crazy. I'm just going to keep driving.
I guess he went like 15 yards once the guy got attached to the car and then rolled down the window. He started banging the car with his flashlight.
I mean, let's be real. What would we do in this?
Here's the thing.
Get away from me.
to Scott's point, The answer is that never happened, because if you listen back to what Jeff Darlington had to say, he gets out and identifies himself as a media member, as they're cuffing Scottie Scheffler. Scheffler looks at him and he's like, is there anything you can do to help me? The officer that is the arresting officer says, no, he's going to jail. And then the other guy with him that has his notepad, after they cuff him and stuff him, the other guy looks at Darlington and said, can you tell me the name of the guy we just arrested? Let's say all that happens. How in the hell do you not get in the cruiser?
Yeah.
And just at that point, okay, we're in here, let's settle.
He's
now,
cuffed.
Who are
He's
you?
He's in the back seat.
Yeah. Okay.
Take a few deep breaths.
Yeah. Or somebody else go, damn it, man, that's number one. and seriously, if you are Scotty, you, at some point, don't you just go
ahead and pull out that.
Do you know who I am?
You have to. At some point in time, you cannot tell me that on the way to the police station, he didn't say, guys, I'm the number one golfer in the country.
Yeah, not only am I supposed to be here.
I don't care how humble you are.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, we've all been pulled over. Last time I was pulled over, I was asked to join, it was a trooper, highway patrolman, in his car. And he has that computer right there. You know, I'm giving my info, and he's just typing in all the info right there, looking me up.
Yeah.
Does my ID match who, you know, and looking all my Yeah. I don't have any priors. He's checking for that stuff, warrants, all that stuff. Is there not a process to that that guy should have been doing this morning? While he's in the car, go, okay, let's give your ID, sir, okay? Any of that? No, just take him, just haul him downtown.
They said that the sheriff and the DA are up for re-election next year.
This probably didn't help. All right. So here is...
we're going to have a giant press conference. Those right there to announce the charges have been dropped.
Here is Scheffler's statement prior to round two. This morning, I was proceeding as directed by police officers. Very chaotic situation, understandably. So considering the traffic accident that had occurred earlier, and there was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do. Never intended to disregard any of the instructions. I'm hopeful to put this to the side and focus on the golf today.
My gosh, how nice of a guy is he?
And of course, all of us involved in the tournament express our deepest sympathies to the family of the man who passed away in the early accident this morning. Truly puts everything into perspective.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, I'll tell you this. The memes that this has generated have been off the charts.
Yeah.
The arresting officer's name, it has been announced, is Tory McIlroy. You got the one of Xander looking like Nick. Did you see Nick, by the way? Did you see Nick's mustache?
That mustache, man.
There was one that had Xander with the mustache, like he was the officer. Okay, here's the question. Talking about, you know, what this could do to, you know, later on for the state of Kentucky, Louisville in particular. You know, this is the fourth time they've hosted the PGA in about 30 years, 96, 2014, and now 2024. I went back and found any idea what the economic impact of the PGA is. I know what it was for Tulsa 2 years ago in 2022.
I have no idea.
Any idea? Just fire numbers. Any guesses?
I'm going to say it's a lot bigger than you think, because the people that went to that, some of the people that went to that, I thought, you've never golfed in your life.
Well, and here's another thing to consider. This year at Louisville, they were trying to break the all-time attendance record for a PGA championship. So you'd think the numbers would be a little bit inflated from what even it was a couple years ago at Tulsa. So you want to venture just a guess for the week?
$25 million.
Okay, that's a guess.
I think it's way higher than that. It's going to be $75 million.
Oh, yeah. It's a four-day deal.
Well, it's really a week-long deal if you consider Monday, like Monday through Sunday.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I didn't think about that. It's over 100.
It is. Yeah. You're not even halfway there.
Oh, wow.
$157.7 million economic impact to Tulsa two years ago.
Oh, that was a Tulsa.
And so now you consider inflation that has happened just for everything between now and then, and then also that they're trying to get more folks there. I mean, that number could easily cross $200 million for Louisville this week. And because one guy got it, you know, there's a lot of ways to go with this.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
someone got reassigned.
Should Scheffler have stopped? Well, he thought he was doing what he was told to do. And, you know, there's a golfer, a PGA guy that's on Twitter. He's a great follow. His name is Michael Kim. And he, you know, he really engages with the fans. Depending, you know, he'll tell you how he thought about the golf course that week and where to eat. I mean, he really is. He's a great follow for, like, kind of giving an insight in life and the tour. And this morning he was like, We never stop.
Yeah, right.
That's just
drive right by
everything. Drive right by everything, because we have decals on our cars.
Yeah,
that lets us just go.
Yeah,
it's like there is no way in the world anyone. He's like the odds of this happening to the number one player are just as good as the 156th player, because nobody would stop.
You think his caddy wasn't like running to the county?
Well, and that's another. I mean, what an odd week. So he has the kid. He has his son last week, and he gets there. Is Ted, his caddy, wasn't going to be there on Saturday anyway because his daughter's graduating college, I think. Now he gets arrested. He starts yesterday with a deuce on number one, knocking it in from the fairway. What a weird week it's been for Scotty Scheffler. But yeah, just the numbers wise.
But can you imagine if that cop gets rough breaks his thumb, severe sprain of his wrist, handcuffing him. I mean,
they said he grabbed his arm and jerked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been reassigned. I'm pretty sure that's gonna be, he's going to be reassigned to like the pooper scooper at man. The. Oh, it works. He's going to have to scoop horse poop at Churchill Downs.
Yeah.
Oh, security man. Detail man, there.
He'll probably try to tackle a horse.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, this is great. I mean, I'm just. Worst drive of Scotty's career.
That's clever.
Who sent that in?
That's good.
No, it's just on Twitter. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Worst drive of Scotty's career.
Yeah.
Worst drive of Jason Keener's career was last week in the first round of the horse race after we won our flight trying to win some more money, and Keener shanks or pulls the crap out of it out of bounds off four. Probably wasn't supposed to.
You bitter there?
Ouch. Now,
I mean, it'd be different if I hadn't carried him all day.
Well, see, that was going to be my question when you said this before the show. If in fact you had carried him all day, why didn't you hit the tee shot on four?
Maybe he carried me most of the day.
Did he feel terrible?
He did.
I bet
you
he did.
Tell.
He, I bet it.
You could tell.
He turned out that look like, oh my gosh, sorry. Didn't he have to say a word? Like the look on his face, you knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, buddy. Yeah. I know you're sorry.
At least he did it with a partner that's forgiving and doesn't bring things up. And
as soon as he hit it and you knew it was going out of bounds, did you start yelling, cut, cut, slice? How far, like, was it a no-doubter? It was out of bounds?
Yeah, it was a...
Like, clear to the road?
Oh, man, now I've got to tee off in front of all these people, is what it was.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Yeah, it was rough.
Well, what else you got on your mind?
Oh, hey, just having fun, man. Excited. It's been a fun year. Been an exciting 5 months in the market. Now we got to start making sure that we're maybe lock in some of those gains, maybe move some things around, see what we're going to do, and go from here.
I saw the celebration from the White House yesterday of the market over 40,000.
There was a celebration at the White House.
A little bit about that, even though I'm young enough to remember just a couple of years ago when the president was talking about how that doesn't reflect economic prosperity. Now apparently it does. But yeah, from your standpoint though, when you see it getting to there, how much, I mean, I know it's a customer's choice, that's obviously, but in your mind, does it start to make you a little nervous that, you know what I'm saying? Seeing it get to that level and what's coming in the fall with the election and all that.
Yeah, you never want to get out of the market completely, but there's nothing wrong with, nobody lost money taking gains.
Right.
You know, so nothing wrong with raking a little, nothing wrong with putting, you know. I'm sure
protecting
you've,
what
I'm sure
you
you've
gained, yeah.
Had a pretty good jackpot at the casino before and said, you know, maybe I ought to take half of this and put it in the left side of my pants and only work out of the right side of my pants the rest of the night. You ever done that?
Maybe not at the casino, but when it's Andrea Mark's money, you put it in your left pocket, take it off the table. And they look at you like, what are you doing? I'm like, hey, I've already won that.
There you go.
You ain't getting it back. We're all telling stories on people.
Andrew can sell another house.
That's right. Go to work.
this is a good time today.
The Scheffler news right, just threw everybody off. We didn't know what to do.
Who can I rip on today?
If I were you, I would not rip on your wife because she might be listening.
That's a safe bet that I do not rip on my wife.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
On air.
That's
absolutely
a very
not.
Good idea. Now,
whatever,
or ever.
Or ever.
I
right?
love Miss Allie.
Now, what he says off the air is pretty juicy. But.
Never, ever rip on my wife. Absolutely not.
I mean, you probably got her something nice for Mother's Day last week.
I did.
So.
I did. Ask Aaron.
Probably got there. A little bit of grace saved up.
Did you, speaking of Mother's Day, did you make a fine meal?
I did.
What did you make?
We did some steak fajitas, and we did shrimp fajitas, and I also seared some scallops because, you know, my mom's from Boston, so.
Boston.
Yeah.
I am looking at, I hope, I don't want to say the name just because, well, for one, they're not affiliated with us, but I think my wife and I are going to go maybe out next weekend for a dinner. Our anniversary is Monday. A week from Monday. And it's a place that I'd never heard of in Oklahoma City, which that's hard to do because I do. I mean, I surf those food websites religiously. And so I may need to see if either of y'all have been there. All right. Yeah. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
Hey, come on down to Garrison Financial right there on the corner of 3rd and Main, a catty corner from Walgreens, 124 North Main, or just give us a call, 821-1219.
Scott@SoonerWealth.com is his email address. Garrison Financial, right there on the corner of 3rd and Main, downtown Elk City. When we come back, what happened yesterday at the PGA, even though what happened today at the PGA is a lot more fun to talk about, a lot more fun to joke about. But Xander Schauffele, is it finally his time? We'll talk about it next. Skinny on Sports on the Garrison Financial Friday, coming back on the Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
That was from the jail cell this morning for Scotty Scheffler. Skinny on Sports, Garrison Financial Friday, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Appreciate our friends at Rother Brothers. Rother Brothers, family-owned dealership, started by its three owners in Kingfisher back in 1976. It's now grown to three locations, covering Western Oklahoma and Clinton Weatherford, or Clinton Fairview and Kingfisher. Rother Brothers prides itself on creating a one-stop shop, providing all sorts of equipment, parts, repair services for many makes and models. Got excellent service, a huge selection of parts, exceptional support for the customers. That's the cornerstone of Rother Brothers. North of Clinton on Highway 183, that is Rother Brothers. Mike and the gang over there do a great, great job. Also,
go ask for Justin. Ask for Justin. Tell him Jared sent you.
Well, there you go.
He'll hook you up.
Also coming on June 1st, the Coulter Vaught Memorial Poker Run. It's open to all street legal vehicles. Dinner by donation at the end of the ride, 50-50 auction items. You register at the Elk City Fire Department. It's 10 to 11. First bike out at 11 on June the 1st. Last bike in at 4 o'clock at the Civic Center. $20 a hand. Low hand to win 100. High hand 200. For more information, contact Jeremy Jones, 580-497-6923, or James Chester at 580-821-1126. All right, I mentioned Jeff Darlington being on the scene this morning at the Scotty Scheffler arrest. Text line is blowing up. It's funny. Is I got tied up into traffic a legitimate excuse for being late to your PGA tee time? I think being arrested might, but I don't think that was going to matter.
There are rules. They're kind of going over those rules, the PGA rules that are if a player can't make it on time or something.
Yeah, you got like usually like 5 minutes late is a two-shot penalty. 10 minutes late is you're done. A lot of times. All right,
there was even speculation of if he was even going to play when he showed up. He had like an hour to warm up and then get to, I believe, number 10. And there was so he went in, obviously, to the clubhouse, and there was then someone kind of said, well, does he even get ready, or is he clearing out his locker? Is he pulling out of this thing?
Listen.
He came out with his clubs. He was playing.
I mean, I know they're pampered and they have their routines, but an hour to get ready to play golf is plenty.
You know, if anything, he just – now he's the people's golfer, right?
Most. Here's,
some of us have gotten tickets on their way to a round of golf or pulled over and something. You know, your other three buddies like, where is this guy? And then you show up and all right, let's go.
Here's Jeff Darlington kind of explaining the entire situation.
Well, Greeny, as you could see in some of that footage, it was a very chaotic situation this morning already outside of Valhalla Golf Club as police were responding to a separate incident down the road. It resulted in road closures and ultimately was only a situation where officials and players could get to the point where they could even approach the Valhalla entrance. But what happened next was certainly surreal. There was a bus that did not have a driver in it that was still sitting outside of the main gate of Valhalla Golf Club. Police were trying to figure out how to get that bus moved. Scottie Scheffler was in a vehicle two behind that bus. Scheffler attempted to drive his car on a road that was jammed with vehicles onto the side median. Plenty of space on that median where Scheffler could move his car around toward the entrance. A police officer in a yellow jacket like those ones you're seeing there approached Scheffler's car, told him to stop. Scheffler continued to drive his vehicle, at which point the officer attached himself to Scheffler's car. Scheffler's vehicle then drove another 15 to 20 yards, making the left into Valhalla Golf Club before coming to a stop. At that point, the officer took his flashlight and start to bang on Scheffler's car, telling him to open the window or open the door to get out of the vehicle. Scheffler lowered the window. The officer then ripped the door open, pulled Scheffler out by the arm, pushed him up against the vehicle, placed him in handcuffs. At that point, I approached Scottie Scheffler and the officers. Scheffler turned at me and said, "Can you help me?" The officers then confronted me, told me to step back. I informed them that I was a member of the media, at which point one officer told me, "There's nothing you can do. He's going to jail." Another officer then approached me shortly after with a pad in his hand and said to me, "Could you please tell us the name of the person that we arrested?"
So they did not seem to know that it was Scottie Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world, for whatever that's worth and however that
they
factors into
it was
all
Scottie
of this.
Scottie Scheffler, Greeny. They also, yeah. When they placed him in the back of that vehicle, they put him in handcuffs. They then, at one point, removed the handcuffs, at which point it felt like the situation was becoming diffused. They allowed him to adjust his wrists before then placing the handcuffs back on him. Scheffler attempted to get the attention of the officer who did put him in the handcuffs originally and pulled him from the vehicle to tell him that he did not know he was a police officer. The police officer did not respond to Scheffler's attempts to explain himself in the situation.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. To think that that's the way that this all went down.
I try to reserve judgment when I wake up to this kind of stuff
right.
When it involves stars. Like, well, what did he do? You know, what did he? I try to be even keel. And like, part of me, as I'm drinking my coffee this morning, kind of standing in the kitchen alone, just kind of reading on the phone what's going on. And part of me is like, well, did he pull the, do you know who I am? Kind of pompous attitude. And the cops didn't like that. Or did the cop go too far? That's the other side of it. Is a little overreactive to it, or is this just a giant misunderstanding?
Oh, I don't think there's any idea. It's a giant misunderstanding. When you think about the world that Scottie Scheffler lives in as far as going to PGA tour events, majors, whatever it might be, this is the having that many emergency vehicles, flashing lights, what have you, is not an uncommon occurrence. Having those big old buses is not an uncommon occurrence for him to think, okay, they're going one way and I'm going another.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you can completely without going, the rules don't apply to him. Guess what? In that arena, the rules never apply to him. He's never going the way that you are because he's going to a different place. And seeing that scene is as far as, you know, how do you not know he's a police officer? He never that doesn't occur to him because it's just the routine of of the way that works. You know, people that it's not an everyday situation is what I'm trying to say. It's not, you know, if that was on the streets in the Metroplex where he lives, that he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But because of where he was at, you know good and well, and every other player that's commented on this is like, yeah, that's what we do. That's why we have those cars. I mean, it's the whole point of this.
I'm actually shocked that they drive themselves. I figured they would have a driver or somebody.
Yeah, like a bunch of
like
them don't.
Like a chauffeur.
Or the caddy.
Or the caddy drive them in. Because somebody made this comment this morning, and I didn't think about this. It makes a good point, is they don't want, when they're driving in to these major events, they don't want to drive. They don't want the stress of dealing with traffic and all that. They got a lot going through their mind, so they would either carpool or have somebody drive them in while they just mentally relax. So I was a little surprised. Like, wait, he drove in himself? But I guess a lot of them do.
Yeah, and because they don't deal with the traffic. I mean, you know, that their lane is not blocked.
Yeah, I mean, but like on interstates and highways
to get there,
from hotel to there.
Well, and it's without knowing exactly how it all is there, it's hard to know what that situation is.
I mean, I'm stressed out. If I'm in it now, I don't know where Scott, where's he from? He's not from Louisville, is he? Where's he from?
Scotty Scheffler?
Yeah.
Well, he's lives in Dallas.
My point is, when I'm traveling, for instance, my last trip, I was up in Denver, and I was stressed driving through downtown Denver because I'm not familiar, you know, or driving through the interstate around Denver. I'm not familiar. It's stressful. So, again, I'm a little shocked that they drive themselves.
The wife of Kentucky Senator Rand Paul has weighed in.
Oh, I was anxiously waiting for that.
Two-tiered system. When Rand and I were mobbed in D.C., one of the rioters that swarmed us punched a police officer in the face. Charges were dropped. I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of that kind of stuff. By the way, Scotty Scheffler birdied the first hole. After all this.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
After all this madness, he birdied the first hole. Anyhow.
Further solidifying his number one rank.
Yeah, I mean, just... it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy what happened. All right, yesterday, it was pretty crazy what happened on the course yesterday. Xander Schauffele, do you have our pick? Did you write down our picks?
I wrote down mine. I'm sorry, I didn't write down yours.
That's okay. I remember mine.
Okay.
I had Scheffler, Schauffele, Rory. Actually, Rory to win, Scheffler second, Schauffele third, and my wild card was Brooks Koepka. You had... man, the only guy you had that was terrible is Rom.
Did he not make a little push?
I don't know. He was terrible last time I saw. What did he end up? Over par?
Well, I could tell you if this dang computer would not crash on
me. Oh, here he is. One under. Wow, he did. He ended up shooting one under yesterday? Wow, he made a huge run. I tuned him out. He was 3 over through 11. Yeah, then he birdied 4 of his last 6. Never mind. He did pretty good. Everybody did pretty good. Well, here's the deal. Does it bother you that the scores are this good?
Not at all. Not at all.
I know it will bother a lot of people. I mean, there was 62 guys shot under par yesterday, which is a record. Right now, if you look at it, 69 guys are under par. This even par is tied for 70th, which would be the cut right now. And that would mean 86 guys would make the cut. I have a feeling with the rain that's falling, the forecast, it's getting even softer. You're probably looking at an under par cut in a major championship, which is not very common. But the thing about Valhalla, and I wonder what it's – I haven't really necessarily heard any of the players talk about this as to a reason, but you know what Valhalla does create? It creates really good leaderboards. And yeah. And it's created the last two times it's held the PGA, the number one player in the world was your winner. And so it makes the cream rise to the top, even if the winning score is going to be well into double digits over or under par, if not 20 something under par, which is, I think a lot of people don't like to see that in majors. But if you end up on Sunday with some combination of Xander, Finau, Scheffler, Morikawa, Rory, you know, going at it down the stretch, then I think that makes the final score a little easier to stomach, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it just goes back to what I said about the star power. I don't care what the score is. If it's incredibly good. I mean, I just expect that at times, that these are the world's best golfers. They take advantage of where they're playing. They're taking advantage of the conditions they're given and all of that. So I got no problem with the scores. And I'd love it if all those names were at the top.
Yeah, and I think here's the truth of it. If the conditions are soft, like they are right now, and only going to get softer with the rain that's being forecast, there's nothing you can do. Absolutely nothing you can do. Because these guys are too good. And if they know they can hit it toward a certain flag and it's not going anywhere, that makes them even... It just makes your golf course impossible to defend itself. Even though it's 75 or 7,600 yard golf course, it doesn't matter. These guys can have 6 and 7 irons in their hand, and if they know the ball isn't going anywhere once it hits, they're okay with that. And, you know, there's something about Valhalla that brings the best players best out, even though the scores are pretty far under par. So I think the year Tiger and Bob May went to the playoff in 2000, it was 18 under was the score. I think Rory won at 15 or 16 under maybe. So it's not like this is – it's kind of par for that course, but I don't – you know, as frustrated as people get when – you know, I think they all think of it supposed to be the U.S. Open. And if somebody shoots 3 or 4 under, that's great, and they should win.
Yeah.
Whereas this is more of a regular tour stop type score. But that all kind of gets – it all kind of gets washed away a little bit if we get the guys you want to see. So far, it looks like that's what we're going to get. A heck of a leaderboard. There might be a surprise or two amongst the leaders, but it does look like we're going to get some form of the top players going at it over the weekend. 9 under from Xander. How amazing is it? There's been 462s ever in the majors. Ever. And he's shot one in back-to-back years.
That's pretty crazy.
I mean, that is nuts. 62 last year in the first round at the U.S. Open, and then did it again yesterday. Is it his time?
It certainly feels like it. Do you want it to be? You're kind of...
I don't have any problem with him. I mean, it's just, we saw this exact same thing last week.
Yeah.
At Quail Hollow, and we've seen it in the major. I mean, the guy hasn't missed a cut since the 2022 Masters, but he also hasn't won. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He hasn't won.
Hard to trust it.
Right. But I think that it's a great shot for him, but he's going to have to hold off a bunch of good players, a bunch of the best players in the world. Was there a round yesterday that surprised you?
Well, outside of Xander, not really. I mean, you got those names up top that are Maybe, I mean, I don't know who Thomas Dietrich is, so.
He's a German guy.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't, here's a sad fact, it didn't surprise me what Tiger did. Just kind of.
Yeah, it did me a little bit.
I thought he'd be better.
He's not going to make the cut. And he had himself in position to shoot a couple under, and he just blew it at the end. You know, when you look at the scoring average on number 8 and number 9, number 8 was one of the easiest par 3s in memory at a major. And he 3-jacks it, and then he 3-jacks 9 for back-to-back bogeys after getting it to 1 under. That's just the way it is for him. I'd say the round that surprised me, just because it's a little bit out of character and it's a big reason why he hasn't won a major in 10 years. But Rory shooting 5 under in the first round, watch out. Watch out.
That's a good one.
Because he has dug himself such holes in a lot of these major championships that, you know, you start looking back at second, third, and fourth round scoring averages. You know, maybe he'll just find a different round to mess it up in this time. But he hasn't, you know, I guess probably, what was it, 2 years ago when Cam beat him at the British, when it looked like Rory had that one in the bag. And Cam, that might be the last time where he really put himself, you know, the 9-under from Xander is such an outlier yesterday that, to me, Rory's won back at the lead, even though he's not, you know. Mm-hmm. But that was such an outlier. So that, if I was everybody else, I would be thinking, uh-oh, this could be, he could be really, and he drove it horribly. And still shot 5-under. I mean,
today's pivotal for him to make a move. Obviously, it's Friday's, but him being right there is big. Let's just see if he can make that move today. Yeah, Scotty gave one back. Looks like
He's got to continue. That's the thing about with Rory. Shot a great first round. We haven't been used to that for a lot of it. A lot of this drought. But now it's like, okay, is the second round going to be the bad one?
Right.
Will it be Saturday that he doesn't put himself into contention? I'm interested to see where the scores go. Is it just going to continue to be a race to 20? Or will it kind of simmer down a little bit? And guys say, you know, you look back, like right now, if it continues, guys like Thomas and Spieth, and maybe even as much as like Koepka at 4-under. I mean, if Xander goes out and shoots, you know, 5 or 6 under today, how far back can you possibly be to even have a chance? Now, if he just shoots 1 or 2 under and all of a sudden the lead's 11, those 2-unders could shoot another 3 or 4 or 5 and be within striking distance on the weekend. And the amount of guys that shoot a really good score is going to be a big deal too. You know, if it's just one guy out there, you feel, okay, puts the pressure on him, maybe it can happen. But if there's 10 or 12 in between you, then you're thinking, boy, I don't know.
Yeah.
They can't all just fall back. So today is interesting in a lot of ways for me, what the weather's going to do.
Yeah, the weather's the big thing for me.
And it's already an hour delayed or hour and a half delayed because of the wreck thing.
Oh, that delayed it too?
Yes.
I didn't realize
that. Yeah. For getting people there. So that's already delayed it. And so now, I mean, I would be pretty surprised if guys like Tiger finish today.
Yeah.
And don't have to come back to finish round two tomorrow. And then
I'm sure Tiger's saying, that's all I need.
Well, the early late is as good as he can ask for tee time wise. As far as getting his body back in shape. But, you know, that is what it is. So it's going to be a fun day at the PGA, even though it's been a wild sad day to start. All right, when we come back, NBA playoffs, what happened to Denver? Is that a good omen for Oklahoma City?
Guess anything's possible.
We'll be back. Wrap up the week. Skinny on Sports on the Garrison Financial Friday next, right here on the Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, hanging out here on a Garrison Financial Friday. PGA Championship going on, round two underway. You know, it'd be a great place to go watch. You know, have an early Friday. Maybe get off 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon. Go watch a little golf. Hang out with your buddies. Boomtown would be a perfect place to do that. Happy hour from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. So that, you know, that the Tiger wave would be starting about then, probably. Yeah. The afternoon guys or the morning guys finishing up because of the delay. So you'd get that interchange of finishing, starting. Also, happy hour, appetizers, drink specials, 11 beers on tap, 30 bottles or cans available. That's the Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main. They've got it all. Burgers, sandwiches, pizzas, pastas, steaks, salads, everything you can imagine. Open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, then today and tomorrow, 11 to 11 at the Boomtown Grill. You know, we've got some stuff coming up, Jared.
Like what?
June 13th, Picking in the Park. 8 o'clock, June 13th. Cody Brewer, JC Aquarius, Cooper Twyman, Caroline Grace. It's June the 13th.
It's always a good time.
Is that a...
It's a Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, that doesn't seem like a date. It's a weekend. So it's a Thursday night at 8. July the 20th, the Wild Plum Jam over in Sayre, at the park at Sayre. And then, of course, July the 27th, the Old Kids Fishing Derby. Everybody loves the Fishing Derby, right?
Oh, my goodness. Who doesn't?
It's coming up at the end of the summer, July 27th.
That's right after my birthday, so feel free to bring me a present.
So what do you got... I was surprised. I'll be honest with you. I was kind of watching the end of the golf. I really didn't think about the – I mowed. I weed-eated.
Oh, you took care of that yesterday?
I did. Cool. I got it done. Well, most of it.
Kept waiting for weather and nothing happened.
Never did.
Kept checking my phone. Nothing.
Anyway, I popped over – to check out the NBA game. I was like, oh, yeah, they're playing tonight, Denver and Minnesota. How surprised. I was shocked. It was like 104-63.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What?
Well, I didn't see – I was hooked up last night. I didn't check the score. I didn't see it until it went final. And I kind of went, huh. And my first thought was, well, I guess it could happen. There's always hope in Game 6 for the Thunder, but – the way Minnesota did that, I mean, just looking at the box score, it just looked like Denver did not shoot the ball well, turned it over 12 times. I mean, they shot 19% from beyond the three, from beyond the arc, 7 of 36. It looked like, I mean, that I just gave you the recipe to lose bad. And giving up 31 points in the first quarter, only scoring 14. So they already started in a massive hole that they couldn't get out of. They tried, but... Minnesota's too good. Ant-Man's too good. I mean, 27 points. I mean, that guy, I saw some highlights of him last night. He's a highlight machine right now.
I think the fourth quarter started off 18-2 at one point. That's when I checked it. It was 104-63. And I went, oh my gosh, and then they got down 50. It's hard to believe a team, and this is probably a little prisoner of the moment, but it's hard for me to believe a team that gets beat by 45 in the playoffs can win a title.
I don't know if at what point, again, didn't watch, so I'd have to go back and watch highlights, but I was too enthralled with the
Jokic didn't play in a fourth.
That's what I'm asking. At what point did they throw in the towel and say, listen, let's lick our wounds, go home, and win this thing at home?
Yeah, and that's the part where...
But that's so risky. You're talking about a Game 7 scenario. I mean, mm-hmm. I could understand if you did this in Game 5 in 4.
Yeah, okay, if you're up 3-0.
Yeah, but I wonder if that was even a thing. But you just told me Jokic didn't even play the fourth quarter.
Well, guess what? They were already down 25, so then they got beat by 20 in the fourth quarter to get beat by 45. Yeah. So it just wasn't Denver's nine.
And these
obviously are
professionals. These are grown adults, well, some. And it's not like a high school team or a college team where you get bad, you beat that bad and it sticks with them in their head and then carries over into the next game. These guys are professional enough to go, okay, that's nothing. We can put it behind us.
Yeah.
But it's a risk going to, I mean, conceding Game 6 just to get Game 7 at home.
Yeah, I don't think they did it on purpose.
I don't think they did that on purpose. No, but
it just happened that way.
Yeah.
Game 6 down in Dallas tomorrow night. Is it as simple as the Thunder can make, you know, driving in and after the game Wednesday? You heard the common theme from the players and from the coach for Oklahoma City was, that was our best game offensively. We just didn't make shots. We generated what we were looking for. It just didn't go in.
I've always said, got to shoot better. That's
well, 10 of 4.
It feels like that has been
10 of 40 from three ain't getting it done. But is it just as simple as needing to knock down a few more threes and Oklahoma City wins Game 6?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's easy to say. And then I what sticks with me is the transition defense. And you said, you know, it's off of missed shots. It's hard to get back, but it's the little extra effort things that I'm not seeing that's bugging me. But yeah, you got to shoot it better, and they got to get better starts. Not one time in the series have they had a good start. Maybe a little bit in Game 5.
It's 8-2. I mean,
a little. I mean, it's like a flash in the pan. Then all of a sudden you look up and it's 24-22. But I like. So, yeah, shoot the ball better. And shooting the ball better might give you a better start. Take the crowd out of it early. Dallas was really good at that in Game 5. I thought they were when they weathered the storm of the crowd.
Here's the deal. It doesn't mean you have to take the crowd out the first minute of the game.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
People think that. Oh, well, the crowd was electric the first quarter. Yeah, what were they doing in the second quarter?
That's what I'm saying.
Sitting on their hands.
Yeah.
They still took the crowd out of the game.
Yeah.
It just didn't happen from the very tip.
That's what I mean, like weather it. Weather that storm of that crowd, that electric crowd, that atmosphere, and then slowly whittle them down, you know, by continuing to answer maybe runs from Dallas if you get that big start and making those defensive stops. But, they got to shoot it way better. Way better.
Question. When we come in here Monday, well, do you think the starting lineup change is permanent, at least in this series?
Yeah, I think we'll see the same.
I do too. On Monday, when we come in here talking about NBA basketball, Will we be talking about Game 7, or will we be recapping the Thunder season and then kind of looking ahead to maybe what could change this summer in the lineup of the team?
I said this series would go to 7, so I'm sticking with that, right? So, yeah, I think we'll come in here and talk about Game 7.
I do not.
Like, I almost have to say that because I said...
Yeah, you can't change. Like you can't change.
I said Dallas in 7. So, but no, I'm going to stick with that. Yeah, we'll come in here talking about it, but it's going to be tough. This feels like, for me, going back, losing game six and going back to Golden State for game seven, and just it just felt like, well, there's no chance here.
Even though that was a close game until the end.
Yeah, I just
I don't think it's going to get out of hand like last night did. But I just have a hard time believing that the young team can figure this out and get it back to game seven.
Maybe the two nights off, I think it helps
Chet.
Yeah.
I think it helps Chet as much as anybody on the Thunder kind of recover and get ready to battle again, kind of with one arm tied behind his back down low. So I do agree with that. I think you'll see that help Chet. I just don't. It just feels like Dallas, the blood is in the water, and the ability of Kyrie and Luka to kill, I think it'd be a mighty impressive win if the Thunder could figure out a way to get this one. I mean, a mighty impressive win to get it back to game seven here.
That'd be another step in their journey.
Yeah.
That we feel like they're on, that we fucked their way ahead in. So if they can find a way to extend this series, again, I've said this a lot, that's a bonus.
Yeah. Yep, no doubt. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks to Scotty G on this Garrison Financial Friday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.